Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18, King Yayati Regains His Youth, text number 41. And we'll just read the verses. That's right. Omarish Prakshet, Yayati similarly requested his sons Turbavasu, Druyu, and Anu to exchange their youth for his old age. But because they were unaware of religious principles, they thought that their flickering youth was eternal, and therefore they refused to carry out their father's order. King Yati then requested Puru, who was younger than these three brothers, but more qualified. My dear son, do not be disobedient like your elder brothers, for that is not your duty. Text number 43. Shri Purur Uvacha. Ko nu loke manushendra pitor atma krita puman pratikartum shamo yasya prasadat vindate param. Shri Puru Uvacha. Puru said, Ka, what, nu, indeed, loke, in this world, Manusha Indra, O your majesty, best of human beings, Pitu, the father, Atmakrita, who has given this body, Puman, a person, Pratikartum, to repay, Shama, is able, Yasya, of whom, Prasadat, by the mercy, Vindate, one enjoys, Param, superior life. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Puru replied, O your majesty, who in this world can repay his debt to his father? By the mercy of one's father, one gets the human form of life, which can enable one to become an associate of the Supreme Lord. Purport. The father gives the seed of the body, and the seed gradually grows and develops until one ultimately attains the developed human body with consciousness higher than that of the animals. In the human body, one can be elevated to the higher planets, and furthermore, if one cultivates Krishna consciousness, one can return home back to Godhead. This important human body is obtained by the grace of the Father. And therefore, everyone is indebted to his father. Of course, in other lives, one also gets a father and mother. Even cats and dogs have fathers and mothers. But in the human form of life, the father and mother can award their son the greatest benediction by teaching him to become a devotee. One becomes a devotee, he achieves the greatest benediction because he completely averts repetition of birth and death. Therefore, the father who trains his child in Krishna consciousness is the most benevolent father in this world. It is said, Janmane janme sabe pitamata pai Krishna guru nahi mile bhajahari hai. Everyone gets a father and mother, but one gets the benediction of Krishna and guru, you can conquer material nature and return home back to Godhead. Do we have the seventh canto, first volume in here? Actually, I just remembered the verse. We don't need it. It's all right. Kamara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha duralabham manusha janma tarapyujavam atardam. So Prahlad Maharaj says from Kamara, from the very tender age of childhood, Kumar Acharat Pragyo, one should cultivate Krishna consciousness. Generally speaking, people think that when one is a child, he should play all day. That will make him happy. Matter of fact, we can see the whole idea is just to make the child happy. That if the child smiles, then our life is perfect. So that's just a reflection of the original desire to serve Krishna. If Krishna smiles, we get a lot more benediction than if the little child smiles. Still, everyone has to have some purpose of life, and generally speaking, the purpose of life, you're right. So this is just a natural manifestation of our desire to please Krishna. We are all servants, and therefore naturally we're supposed to serve Krishna. And when we serve Krishna, then we're happy. And here in the material world, we also get some satisfaction by serving others. But Kumara Acharo Pragya Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. But one should learn from the tender age of childhood that the actual purpose of service is to serve Krishna. Otherwise, if we get accustomed to serving something other than Krishna, then it becomes very difficult later on in life to reverse that desire to serve something other than Krishna. We get addicted by habit. It's just like if you have a car and the wheel is stuck in the ground and you try to get it out of the ground by revving the engine up, but every time you rev the engine, the wheel gets deeper into the hole. But when it's still convinced that somehow or another, if I keep on trying to do the same thing I did before, eventually I'll get out of the hole until the wheel breaks or something, and then one realizes it doesn't work. So in the same way, everyone is trying to get out of the hole of material existence, the problems of material existence, and we hope we can solve that by pleasing others. As it said, that deha patya kala tradishu atma saneshva satsupi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi na pashati. Our actual object of worship in this world is our body. But why do we love the body? Because we ourselves within the body, and since we're only aware of ourselves right now, to some degree, therefore we worship ourselves. We do everything for the benefit of myself. And since I can't do anything outside of working with this body, I'm trying to utilize this body for the benefit of myself. Although I claim I love others, but actually what I love is myself. Now that love of self is manifested in many different ways. It's manifested as love for the body or love for our feelings. Even above our body is our feelings, because we could even sacrifice our dear body for our feelings. Just like Jarasandha, when he met with Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, he's willing to actually sacrifice his body in order to serve his false ego, to make his because his false ego is always tied up with our feelings. So if it feels good, then our false ego thinks it's worth it. The effort. Even Jarasandha said, if I can get eternal fame, I'm willing to even sacrifice my own head to offer my head to you, if that will give me eternal fame. For my false ego, I'm willing to do anything, because my false ego feels good, then I feel good. My mind feels good, and if my mind feels good, then I feel good. And that's all I exist for, is so I can feel good. Now the problem is, even if we temporarily satisfy our false ego, our senses, whatever else, so we can feel good, eventually we will feel bad. Just like Jarasandha, he got eternal fame in the Bhagavatam, but not very positive fame. We don't celebrate his disappearance day. to go down eternally as a rascal and a demon is not exactly the highest point of fame, at least not within our society. On the other hand, even if one does some service to Krishna, neha bhikarma nashosti pradyavayo navidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. Even if we utilize a little bit our body or our mind or our words in Krishna's service, then we get eternal benefit. And that eternal benefit accumulates until we finally become fully conscious of Krishna and become eternally happy forever. And therefore one should practice, one should be trained up from the beginning of childhood to practice devotional service. Kumara acharo pragya dharman bhagavatan hiha durlabham manusha janma. So it's very rare to get the human form of life. We don't understand what a great privilege we have. We are simply comparing ourselves to others, thinking someone else is better than I am, they have a better position, they have more material opulence than I have, etc., etc. But this opulence, which can be utilized in any species of life, we may become the queen bee, or the queen of the ants, or the king of the ants, and have millions of servants. But after all, it's the same business, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. When the ant comes in contact with that little speck of sugar, for him, it's a feast for the next 3 years. And when he eats the sugar, it's just as enjoyable as when we eat our gulab jamun. And when he gets intoxicated, he gets just the same intoxication as anyone who drinks alcohol. As we can see, sometimes we see the ants running around in a circle. They're in bliss. They don't have to go to their job, they just have to run around in a circle all day long. They don't know where they're going. They just don't want to leave that little piece of sugar, that's all. Therefore, deha patya kala tradishu. But what is the whole thing about the big glamorous material world as the Himalayas were about to give birth to something, and all the animals, everyone came to see what will the Himalayas give birth to. There was big rumbling, practically it was an earthquake. And then finally a mouse ran out. Or as William Shakespeare says, much ado about nothing. Everyone is expecting some glorious thing to happen. So much news is going on, etc. But every day we find out nothing really much is happening. It's the same whole thing. One group of people are trying to exploit the other group, and the other group are claiming that they're victims. And nothing about Krishna, nothing about liberation, nothing about the purpose of life, just either being exploited or trying to exploit others in 8,400,000 of species of life, so that we can make sure that we conserve the most important thing in the universe, our body, so that our mind feels good, and so I feel good. And if I feel good, then everyone else can feel bad as far as I'm concerned, as long as it doesn't make me feel bad, because I'm the center of the universe. For that reason, the sun rises in the morning, and for that reason, it sets in the evening, for me. Otherwise, do away with the sun. What do I need the sun for if it doesn't shine on me? And what is the whole thing? Somehow or another, survive. Keep the body alive, so that I can don't have to worry about leaving it. Although that's all I worry about. When am I going to leave my body? Where am I going next? Etc., etc. How can I make this body healthy? What alliance do I have? What family do I have to have? How much money do I have to have in the bank? how many exercises do I have to do, how many vitamin pills do I have to take so my body survives, so that I feel good. So, in the human form of life, we have a chance to get over that. Pashanapi napashati. Why be in anxiety of about something that's inevitable? You can't do anything about. And which may even, just like Arjuna, Krishna says, or Prabhupada said, that Arjuna didn't want to kill his grandfather, Bhishma, or his teacher, Dronacharya. But Krishna said, don't worry about killing them, because actually, if you kill them, they'll get a better situation. You're helping them. If someone throws you out of their house and then they give you a mansion 10 times bigger than your present house, how can you're not going to complain? Why just throw me out of my house? Why are you giving me this place which is 10 times bigger? Similarly, leaving this body doesn't necessarily mean we enter into the void and disappear. We leave behind our teddy bear. Didn't go with us, and therefore we're completely bewildered and lamenting, oh, my teddy bear, where did it go? No, the next place, if we can make it better, if we can work to make it better, just like people work in order to save up their money so they can actually get a better situation in the future. So similarly, if we perform devotional service with the right attitude, not asking Krishna for something temporary, but doing it to get the eternal benefit of Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service, to work out of pure love and devotion. What could be better than that? Rather than working under the heavy obligation of trying to maintain my body and things in connection with my body, so I can survive in a place where no one survives. I can protect my body, or I can protect my mind, make sure my mind feels good. Or I can protect my image so that others think I'm good. Or I can protect my false ego so that I feel like whatever I do is perfect, powerful, and happy. Why work for such a thing? Well, why not work for Krishna a little bit, see what it's like? And if we don't like working for Krishna, no problem. We've been here since time immemorial. There'll be plenty of lifetimes left to work for our false ego again. So, Prabhupada said, just try it out. Give it a test run. See if it's all right. See what it's like to do something for Krishna today. Offer him a leaf. My dear Krishna, I'm offering you this Tulsi leaf because I know you like Tulsi leaves and I want to make you happy. So, a little sincerity like that and see what it's like. And then see if it doesn't make it. Actually, we get everything we're looking for, plus much more. So that's possible in the human form of life. Otherwise, especially in this civilized form of life, otherwise people, 99.99% of the living entities in this mature world, are just going to struggle to maintain their bodies in 8,400,000 species of life. So at least we know we can't, no matter how much we struggle, no one survives. No one gets out of this world alive. So, at least rather than simply spending our whole time struggling for existence, why spend a little time struggling for devotional service and see what it's like? And that's possible if we get the human form of life, so therefore we should be grateful to our parents, because they had to work to give us this life. We didn't grow up, you know. Sometimes parents don't like their children, they kill them even. Or they put them on the street to survive. But our parents at least gave us an opportunity to grow up, get some kind of education, and enough so it attracted us to devotional service and try to make some progress towards the goal of life. So we should, once one becomes a devotee, then one will pay back as the debt one has once to one's parents. As much as we actually become devoted and Krishna conscious, then Krishna will actually reciprocate and pay back our debt to our parents. Therefore, it says, Devarshir Bhutatma Rinim Pritrinam Nikinkuro Yaksharanam Sharanyam. That Deva, Devar Rishi, the Buddhas, the ordinary people, all these people will be paid back if one is not a kinkaro yaksharanam sharajan. One is not their debtor nor their servant if one takes to the service of Krishna. And Krishna will pay off all our debts if we actually do that. So we really want to pay our parents back and everyone else who's helped us, who are assisting us in our development of Krishna consciousness. Then simply if we serve Krishna, Krishna will take care of all our debts for us, if we sincerely serve him. That there's no reason to feel obligated. Of course one should feel obligated, but there's no need to feel oneself, one should feel when indebted, but to pay off that debt, one should serve Krishna. That's the best way of paying the debt off. Just like Hiranyakashipu, the biggest demon that ever existed in the universe, but he had a pure devotee as a son, and therefore, even in spite of all his sinful activities, he got liberation. And eventually he even went back to Godhead. So, rather than put our minds in many different places, trying to figure out how to survive, and who's going to help me survive, try to put some faith in Krishna, that if Krishna is pleased, then my body will not survive, but I'll survive. And if I survive, then my life is perfect. If I survive in Krishna consciousness at the time of death, then the human form of life is perfect, is successful. Otherwise, any other so-called success in the material world, even if it so-called makes our parents proud of us, but will they be proud if at the end of the human form of life I become a rat? Will that actually be fulfilling their desire? I became a great lawyer, made so much money, but at the end of my life I became a rat. What would be the gain? So we got a little praise from our parents, but what is the value of that praise, of that appreciation? And even Hiranyakashipu did not appreciate Prahlad's becoming a devotee, but still, when Prahlad became a devotee, he gave the greatest benefit to his father and mother. So we should serve our father and mother in a way that will give them the greatest benefit, not to serve our false ego by getting a little praise from them and thinking, well, I got some praise and therefore I pay my debt back to them. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Just now coming.
When we read Bhagavatam, it says that...
You have to do talking to the microphone.
When we read Bhagavatam, it says that... anybody who becomes a devotee, his family, the generations are liberated, seven generations. I was reading an article, I think it was a few years back on Dhanvat, you know, that on Dhanvat. And that article, there was a devotee who, he described the death experience of his father. And so there was like a really long article about this, and he described that when his father was dying in the hospital, his father actually saw Yamdutas. So he described the whole thing, how everything was happening. Like, for example, his father was saying, oh, they're coming to take me, and I can see the fire and stuff like that. So I'm just thinking how this statement, like that... the generations are liberated when one becomes a devotee. How
not so easy to become a devotee. At the present time, we're aspiring to become devotees. And of course, whatever devotion we've obtained, whatever level, that will benefit. But to actually liberate our ancestors, it requires more than just chanting shnik shnik ram ram day 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 hey kitty kitty hey kitty hey. Requires pure chanting, pure devotion. Then our parents will get the complete perfection. Because then they'll think about us, and if just like we think about Prabhupada, we become liberated. We think about Prabhupada in the proper way, or even the improper way. One becomes, because Prabhupada is so powerful. So we become powerful, then when our parents think, my rascal son or daughter, they became a devotee, then they become purified by thinking about their rascal son or daughter. But if they think, my rascal son and daughter, and we are rascals, they don't really get as much benefit as if we're actually become a pure devotee. Anything else? Hvala, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.